Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In today's headlines, Victoria's bushfires have turned deadly with the first death confirmed. The Adelaide Festival has lost three board members amid growing fallout from the board's decision to drop a Palestinian Australian author. Police have charged a 33-year-old man with offensive conduct after he allegedly wore a vest covered with duct-taped objects in Bondi. That and more coming up in the news. Victoria's bushfires have turned deadly with the first death confirmed. Police say a body was found in an area affected by the Longwood fire in central Victoria. The body was discovered 100 metres from a vehicle after crews gained access to the area on Sunday afternoon. The person is yet to be formally identified and a report will be prepared for the coroner. In a statement, Premier Jacinta Allen says her thoughts are with the person's family and loved ones. At least 390,000 hectares of Victoria have been burnt and 300 structures damaged as more than 20 bushfires continue to burn. Emergency Management Commissioner Tim Weebush says interstate and international support has been requested to help firefighters.
We've also brought into our state in recent days over 160 personnel from interstate, and we have another 32 personnel that are arriving from interstate. So we now have Country Fire Service, South Australia, New South Wales Rural Fire Service. We have people also coming across to us from other parts of Australia. I requested additional resources both from a national and international level to support us over the next month.
The Adelaide Festival has lost three board members amid growing fallout from the board's decision to drop Palestinian-Australian author Dr. Randa Abdel Fattah from the festival lineup. On Thursday, 8th of January, the board confirmed it had told Dr. Abdel Fattah she would no longer appear at the Adelaide Writers' Week, saying it would not be culturally sensitive following the Bondi terror attack. The decision prompted nearly 100 authors to pull out from this year's event, including prominent writers Percival Everett, Booker Prize shortlisted British author Zadie Smith, and former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis. SBS News understands three board members, women's executive coach Donny Walford, lawyer Nicholas Link, and journalist Daniela Retordo, have resigned following a crisis meeting of the board on Saturday, 10th of January. Police have charged a 33-year-old man with offensive conduct after he allegedly wore a vest covered with duct-taped objects in Bondi. The man was arrested overnight after police were called to an apparent bomb threat in the suburb. Officers from the bomb disposal unit searched the area and vests and deemed them safe, with the incident coming just hours after thousands of people attended a vigil for victims of a mass shooting in Bondi in December. The Victorian man is accused of behaving offensively, and police allege he had a second taped vest in a nearby vehicle. More than 500,000 accounts have been wiped from social media platforms Facebook, Instagram and Threads since under-16s were banned from social media in December. Meta, the tech giant behind the three platforms, says it has removed around 544,000 accounts belonging to teens in the month since the ban came into force on December 10. Teenagers are also banned from using other platforms such as TikTok, Snapchat, X, Reddit, Kick, and YouTube, with the onus on tech giants to detect and deactivate accounts. Fines of up to $49.5 million apply if they fail to take reasonable steps to remove under 16 users. Human rights groups have expressed concerns over the large number of protesters killed in Iran. The US-based rights group Human Rights Activist News Agency says it has verified the deaths of 490 protesters and 48 security personnel over the last fortnight since protesters erupted on the 28th of December. Authorities cut off internet access and telephone lines on Thursday, 8th of January, but the protests have continued. The deputy director at Human Rights Activist News Agency, Skylar Thompson, says the escalation in tactics used to repress protesters is something that they're monitoring closely.
It's always a concern when we see that initial, you know, full internet shutdown, because what happens is we start to see increased violence. We start to see things happening behind this veil of sort of secrecy. And it's usually an indicator for us that analyze from the outside that this is when the regime intends to really start their crackdown. And that is evident in the, you know, last couple of days when the internet was shut down and we began to see increased violence. And I think there's always a connection there.
Iranian authorities say they are acting to deal with the economic pressures that first sparked the protests, but condemned those they labelled rioters, saying they have been causing trouble after incitement from the US and Israel. And now in sport, in cycling, Patrick Eddy has taken the Australian men's road race title at the Australian National Road Cycling Championships. The 23-year-old overtook race favourite Luke Plapp in a dramatic race to the finish line, marking a return to form after a few rough years that saw him dropped from his previous team. It is his first win in 6 years. Eddie expressed his own shock over the result in Western Australia.
Pretty much have won nothing since I won the Junior Nationals and lost myself as a rider the last few years and just saw this as an opportunity to get back to racing aggressive, having fun, and full credit to Tim Decker and Graham Moffat and everyone from Brennan.
And Mackenzie Copeland took out the women's road race title, with the 20-year-old blitzing her first season as a World Tour cyclist. And now for today in the weather, Perth is partly cloudy at 25, Darwin is seeing a shower or two with possible storms at 26, Alice Springs is sunny at 29. Brisbane is seeing rain at 27, and Cairns is seeing possible showers at 31. Sydney also seeing possible showers at 18. Canberra is cloudy at 19, and Melbourne is sunny at 18. Hobart is seeing some cloud cover at 17, whilst Adelaide is sunny at 22. And that's the latest in the news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio. Hey, you lot, you're listening to NITV Radio. Later on the program, Temuera Morrison speaks with NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry about the upcoming show coming to SBS on the 14th of January, Earth Ovens. Temuera travels around the globe to meet Indigenous communities and learn how earth ovens have shaped their culture. But first, on the 24th of January, catch the Motley Bauhaus in Naarm, Melbourne. It's going on summer break with rising stars of Naarm's Black Drag scene with MoCo, the Motherless Collective, hosted by Maura Money and featuring Stone Motherless Cold, Summer Break. NITV Radio speak with deadly drag queen Maura Money, Elijah Money, sharing their journey into drag and the eclectic stage performances as part of Midsummer Festival. Have a listen to Maura Money.
I just gave a little bit of an intro there, but can you tell us, who are you? Who's your mum? Where are you from?
True God, I can. So, my name is Elijah Money, also known as Maura Money, and I am one of the creative leads of MoCo, also known as the Motherless Collective. And I'm a Wiradjuri brother boy from around the Riverina area, but have been living in Naarm on Eastern Kulin Nations for at least a solid 10 years. years, but also extending into my childhood down south on Bunurong as well.
Can you give a little bit insight on who you are? What has your creative cultural journey looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel very fortunate that I've, you know, ever since I was a little one, like, always known that I was Blackfella, always known that we were Wiradjuri. And I think growing up on what's commonly known now as the Mornington Peninsula or Bunurong country, you know, it was, I think statistically it's the whitest place in Victoria, which, you know, speaks volumes. But with that, it meant that when I was, you know, 18 and ready to come to a big city, that I really just flourished and found all of the most fantastic, beautiful, amazingly minded, creative people that just really synergized with. And it's actually where I met one of the co-founders of Moco, Stone Motherless Cold. And yeah, it was such a treat. In terms of my creative journey, I've truly always been a little creative, you know, whether it was painting up when I was a little kid, or, you know, drawing on walls, painting on walls, or when I was 17, I started putting work, actually even younger, right? Like, I think when I was 17 or so, I did a large installation for Strawberry Fields Festival back in the day. These days, I just live as a freelancer who, as you were saying, I'm a painter, I'm a writer, I run creative workshops, and of course, I do drag as well. The first time I actually ever did drag was as a favor to, as previously mentioned, Stone Motherless Cold, who called me up and asked for a Blackfella drag king to just, was like, it doesn't matter that you haven't done it, but please, I promised this thing and I just need to deliver, and you're really the only one I can think of that will actually be able to pull through. So with that, my first drag performance ever was at Hamer Hall as part of the Yurrumboy 2019 schedule, and the event was called Disrupt, which was such a gorgeous event and so multifaceted. Eventually, when I went to, like, medically transition personally, I also transitioned my drag persona. So I went from Mo Money to Mora Money, and Stone and I have really been working together ever since.
Can you share a little bit more about MoCo, Motherless Collective? We know community is so important, and even more so for queer community and queer mob. How did you get involved with that, and what does MoCo look like?
I feel like how I got involved with that, especially within the drag sector, Stone, again, gave me that phone call of, Bub, can you please pull your neck out for me? I really need this favour done. And that just really has expanded and evolved into such a beautiful, you know, ripple effect. Whereas we just, so recently, were really fortunate to receive some funding from the Creative Ventures Program in order to run a series of drag workshops for queer mob who have, you know, always wanted to perform or had a big interest, but there was some blockages in the way, such as there might be some financial struggle there because, my gosh, the kit is expensive. But with that, could also actually employ and bring in really fantastic mentors and teachers to have, yeah, to share these skills with the participants who are able to take on those skills beyond the program that we ran, and be able to launch themselves into, yeah, the sphere. Because, as said, our communities are so integral, and it's such a joy to be able to be part of a program that's uplifting other young queer mob.
Can you tell us more about the work that you're presenting with 2026 Midsummer Festival? It's called Summer Break. What are audiences going to see from you?
They are going to see queer black joy. I'm so excited to be doing this, and it's truly a treat to have a majority of the drag participants, as per mentioned, as the cast. I will be hosting, and it will just be such a treat to be able to let, you know, our participants really shine and to bring a this an exciting, high-energy variety night show. We wanted it to be called Summer Break to give the idea of, you know, you're in high school, it's summer break, it's the summer months, you've got, like, maybe a month off, it's wild, it's fun, and to bring that fun energy, because to us, you know, these are our judge-arms, like, they're our babies, they're our little drag babies. So you'll be expecting, or I expect, that you'll enjoy and see, you know, fun, joy, silly, camp. I imagine there'll be outfit reveals. I imagine there will be silliness and jokes. And I hope that there's a little bit of a shock factor as well, just to keep us all on our toes.
The Midsummer Festival for 2026 is coming up in January. How did the process go, bringing multiple queer people in drag coming and bringing their ideas to this? How did you decide, yes, we'll include that and that and that and everyone's ideas?
I think, as I would like to say, Stone and I are very mummy energy for MoCo, and we were really fortunate to have Midsummer actually come and approach us asking if we wanted to be part of their programming, and that they were able to give us a small commission to be able to facilitate and to run this event, so that, you know, everyone's got cash in their pockets automatically. You know, we love, it's essential to pay artists, especially queer black artists, and so that for us was a, you know, no-brainer, and it meant that we could bring in all of our fantastic participants. When it came to the program and the ideas of it all, my gosh, I feel like it's the most beautiful, you know, blackfella way of, you know, it's herd and cat style, like, but what a joy. We are, everyone will be bringing their own performances and their own different spins on the theme. And so, yeah, it'll be like a little collaboration from everyone, while also having, you know, everyone's definite, like, personal flair and input on the event.
For the festival, Midsummer 2026, it has an overarching theme of exploring queer histories and futures. How does that theme really connect to you putting on work for audiences to see?
I think that, I mean, as you know, queer blackfellas have always existed and we will continue to exist. We are both paying homage to our ancestors while reasserting our futures, whilst additionally reshaping the concept that the only form of First Nation creativity can only stem from trauma porn that, I would argue, caters exclusively to settler sympathetics. But it's a beautiful thing to see this being celebrated and all of our joy being celebrated as well.
Since this is a festival, so there's multiple things going on, there's other creatives putting on other works. Are you going to be able to find the time to see what other people are doing?
Oh, God, he's hoping. I mean, I'm really excited. I know that Joel Bray will be performing and doing a show at Meat Market. And so, yeah, hopefully going to be able to make that. And I believe that Cerulean, who is one of our key collaborators as well, will be doing some performances with Midsummer. So always going to be chasing up whatever they're doing, because, my God, Cerulean puts on such a fantastic show time and time again.
And for people who want to find out more, find out what times, what dates, where can they get more information about your work, Summer Break, or even just the program for Midsummer Festival?
So MoCo is on Instagram. Our account is moco.au, because we figured that it would match with our upcoming website launch. So that's moco.au. You can follow us there to get all of the updates. We're also doing a bunch of different revival, like, images and whatnot from work that we've done previously and events that we've done previously. The event is actually going to be at the Motley Bauhaus. If, you know, maybe you're keen to see or read up a bit more about the Midsummer program itself, I reckon chuck into Google Midsummer 2026, and the programs are up, they have launched, and things are looking beautiful, colourful, vibrant and exciting.
I want to thank you for jumping on and telling us all about Midsummer Festival, and particularly your event, which is going to be Summer Break.
Thank you so much. It's truly such an honour and such a privilege to have the opportunity to chat with you and to chat about some of the things that we've got coming up.
That was Elijah Money, aka Maura Money, talking about 2026 Midsummer Festival. Midsummer Festival, Exploring Queer Histories and Futures, is running from the 18th of January to the 8th of February.
Hey, you're back listening to NITV Radio. A new series is set to premiere on SBS On Demand, Earth Ovens. Temuera Morrison is a celebrated New Zealand actor and host, best known for his role in Once Were Warriors. In this upcoming series, set to premiere on January 14th, Tem takes viewers on a journey to communities around the world exploring culture through though known by different names like Hangi, Imu or Pib, Earth Ovens are cooking mean feeds around the world and through time. Tem shares with NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry. Have a listen to this.
Thanks for joining us on NITV Radio today. And a new series is coming to NITV.
Fantastic. I am just so honoured that someone's got the show on. So thank you so much. I am very honoured that NITV have my show. They have wonderful programs. I was actually just in Australia during the Christmas. It's up at Rockhampton. So I tuned into a couple of those programs.
And how was your time up at Rocky? It's a beautiful part of the world, Rockhampton.
Hot, very hot, very hot. But yes, look, my show, there's some wonderful cooking shows on your channel already with all different kind of flavors and all. But the thing about my one's outside in the bush. My one's outside on Indigenous people's playing grounds. My one's out in the open. It's not only about the food, it's about the culture. It's about these wee connections that we have and understandings that we're, you know, we need to do a little bit more work in terms of understanding one another, bringing these Indigenous cultures to the fore. And so, yes, it's very exciting for me. It's something a little bit different and challenging at times as well. So I guess it's something a little bit fresh. You know, we're not inside a studio on a nice table and everything's set out on a kitchen. And so we're out there mixing it with the people. We're in the bush. We're in the forest. We're riding horses. We're on the oceans. So out there with the elements. So it all has that kind of thing. I feel a bit like, what's her name? Joanna Lumley at times. I could be the Māori Joanna Lumley.
And tell us about some of those amazing locations around the world in which you visited for this series.
Well, gee, look, we were a place very close to a place called Petra. We were out in Wadi Rum with the Bedouin people. That was spectacular. Every day going to work there, we were there for about 7 days. I just felt like I was in a movie and I was going to come across Lawrence of Arabia anytime soon. So very spectacular to be in this in these kind of locations. Of course, Petra, the famous Petra Israel, was only a couple of miles down the road, so we happened to pop in there as well. But again, Hawaii, again, Australia, up in a place called Cairns, where I got to reconnect with my Aboriginal brother, David Hudson, who we met way back in the day on a movie called The Island of Dr. Moreau, starring Marlon Brando, Val Kilmer, David Thewlis, Temuera Morrison, David Hudson. And we become very close. We become very, very close indeed. So it was wonderful to reconnect with David. And that's one of my special programs too. Just the brotherly love we showed together. Again, the family. Again, David's a very, very talented bicultural man. And it's just a buzz and exciting to be around him. He just has so much depth. You know, he's one of these guys that can park up on the road and just run into the bush and come out with an ant nest and he'll make you some suntan lotion out of it. So, yeah, he just blows me away. Of course, his didgeridoo playing is spectacular. Of course, where he took us to these lava tubes. We're like in the outback. So Yeah, fair dinkum, mate. Fair dinkum. Fair dingo, mate. We were out there.
And tell us more.
My boy, I was right out there. I've got to work on that accent.
Tim,
I've got to work on that Australian accent. That Australian accent needs a bit of work.
Tell us more about that episode featuring Dave Hudson. What else did you explore in the app?
What humour too. We're just naturally funny guys. Funny, he's a Merle Haggard fan, so he loves singing country music. There's something about my brother. They just ride into country music, and look, he just breaks into the first line. He goes, "Well, today I started loving you again," and then I'm right in there with him. I'm right back where I really. And we haven't seen each other for 28 years, and we just sing, and the voices just. I don't know, they just tone. They have a nice tonal quality when these two voices meet. So he's a special mate, a special person, along with his family. Of course, all the family turn up at the end of the show. He got me, I thought I was going to be eaten by the crocodiles. There was one river we were right in, and I'm going, man, this looks spooky, this river. He had me doing all sorts of things. You know, and things like the bark of the tree. That's their way they cover up the food. Of course, they go through the same process, the rocks. We've got to get the rocks out of the special river, the special kind of rocks, volcanic rocks. He had other names for them. We had some of the family turn up and take us on a little hikoi through these lava tubes. I saw snakes. I saw bats even. And, man, lucky I'm Aquaman's father, so I was able to connect with those bats.
And, tell us more about the bats. They sound really deadly.
They're in the cave. There's too many of them. They're just flying around in this lava tube we're in. And it was just nice. It was just nice to catch up with David. Our voices blend well together. And those kinds of things just, I don't know, when you meet people and you have a voice, two voices like him and I, we just blend, we harmonize. And again, I just get blown away by the depth of his talent. I have one regret. I've never got him to dance in this spectacular location. And just seeing the way they move their feet. It's not like we have the haka. Haka ho, mutta ka, mutta ka. It's like a rhythm. Ho, mutta. It's all like a beat. It's a beat too. But these fellas beat, they kind of got a hopping motion in there. And they actually physically embrace the spirit of the animal. And man, out it comes. So anyway, yeah, I was right in there. He had me bouncing around like a kangaroo, put it that way.
And what about the food? What did you cook with Dave Hudson?
Well, some of it was traditional kangaroo tail. We also had the pork and the chicken, the usual stuff, the sweet potato. Gee, I must say, visiting the market up there in Cairns too was just spectacular. I must say, I've never tasted so many variety of sweet, sweet mangoes. And the food. You know, some of the raw product that we have down here in Australia and New Zealand, we just, you know, that's where it all goes back to, the raw product. Anyway, yes, we had some turtle meat as well. We had some crab. Yeah, it was very, very nice, very, very sweet. And Dave does his earth oven, the banga, they call it, very, very similar to the way I do mine. We start quite small and we build the fire, build the stones. And, you know, we just take our time. And the other good thing with David's one too is just that we're both quite funny people in real life. You know, there's no acting, there's no script, but we're just quite, I don't know. Yeah, we're just quite funny fellas. We're kind of funny fellas. Yeah, we just have a good old laugh. So and you can't script that stuff sometimes. So hopefully our camera caught some of this magic. And, you know, the people, the viewers sit back and watch it and just sort of say, hey, this is something warm. This is something cuddly. And of course, it's funny. We move it along a little bit. Of course, we can't just have a shot of the fire heating rocks for 40 minutes. So we have to go out there and discover things too and see where those connections are and learn a little bit more about the culture, meet some more of the family who are very good at what they do as well. So, yeah. And then the tide came in a little bit high, so I was a little bit scared because we had to go out and get some crabs, and we got there a bit late. So I was worried about, but the tide comes up, of course, the jellyfish can come in. Oh, but anyway, I got out unscathed, that's for sure. Seeing the signs on your guys' beaches are a little bit different from our signs.
Mm.
Yeah, I survived. If I'm ever going on Survivor, I'll take David Hudson with me. there might be a celebrity survivor someday and I might need to go on there, but I definitely will be taking David Hudson and we will win the competition. But I'm not quite sure if I'm allowed to bring somebody, but he would be my man to survive the elements.
How did this whole idea for the series, Earth Oven, come about?
It was the producers, Nicole Horan, and of course, her partners and beautiful woman. I got to work with these wonderful producers, and they make television anyway. They thought of the idea, and what also helped it was my friend Mike Jonathan, who does all the camera work, and we just recently worked together on one of our movies, Kapa Fai Tonu, which has been doing well in the indigenous movie world as well. Kapa Fai Tonu. And he's a very good dear friend, and he told me about it, and I said, oh, gee, I love hangi. That's my favorite kai. That's my favorite food. So it didn't take too much convincing when the girl's ma came back to me and they said, oh, what do you think of the idea? I said, oh, I love the idea. And guess what? I got Jason Momoa coming down with a few friends. I'll put a hangi down for them and we can film it. And we've got a little bit more footage to help with our proposal. So that's what happened. Jason and them turned up. We had a wonderful day. And we filmed most of the day too, me preparing the hangi with my family up on the coast. We had a wonderful place to stage it up on the hills there, right by the ocean. So, yeah, and it came out well. Jason and them all turned up. They helped, you know, take all the dirt off the hangi at the last minute and reveal the food. And, of course, all I could hear while they were eating it was Jason yelling out to his chef. He just kept yelling out to his chef, meaning that he's got to learn how to cook this. And I said, I'm not quite sure he's going to light this fire in the city, but we'll see how he goes. But yeah, so it was a buzz having Jason there. I said, I'm not going to put on. Jason's been very, very generous to me in the past, not only given me work, but also takes me out for dinner occasionally and picks up the tab. So I thought I didn't want to do the normal barbecue or the, you know, steaks and chops on and sausages on the barbecue. I thought we'd go a little bit more earthy and show him a little bit more culture and love. Of course, he knows it anyway because he's a Hawaiian, but we all still enjoy that process too. We had a great day, and that's how it all came about, really. So I think with our girl, they're called Hai Mama Productions. They're based in Auckland, and very fantastic too. I've worked on a lot of stuff and working with these mana wahine, I call them, women with a lot of mana. And they know the game, they know the craft. And we did get it, you know, we had our little bits and pieces. What you do is still hard work when you got to out there and start shooting and try and run away from jaguars.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. We jump back into that kororo with Temuera Morrison, our guide into the upcoming series Earth Ovens, set to be available to watch on SBS On Demand from the 14th of January 2026. Tem tells us a little bit more about the food and culture he experienced when travelling to places like the Middle East. Have a listen to this.
And tell us about your trip to the Middle East.
Well, Middle East was a bit different. We met the people and we had to drive out there in the middle of the desert. We did a little bit of camel riding. And they do theirs in a kind of a, like a drum, like one of those old gasoline drums. But it hasn't got gasoline in it, of course. A 40-gallon drum. And they place it into the sand. So you dig a hole, you put the drum in. Then they kind of have a tier system, like a little wire mesh basket thing, which all the food is on different levels. And so they put that inside the drum. It fits in there quite nicely. They actually got a lid on the drum. Then you come put a blanket on top and then you cover it with sand. But again, you light the fire. No rocks though. No rocks. We just find a little brush, natural timber around in the desert there. And we just use that. And we burn that down into like a charcoal. You place all the food on the inside and took it. It didn't take that long, about an hour and a half. Yeah, and we all sit around. They add a little bread and a little bit of rice and eat with our hands on the tent floor. The only thing I was a bit worried about was getting too much sand in the food because if the wind blows up. But yeah, another spectacular way to eat. Again, they put their food in the ground and it allows them to go off and walk their goats and their sheep and tend to whatever else they have to do out there in the desert. just sitting under the shade is what's good enough for me, but oh, there's plenty to do out there as well. And then it allows them to freeze them up for their work activities. And then they come back and reveal their zarb. They call it the zarb. The zarb, but very nice. Very nice. And also out there in the middle of the desert, there are these kind of, they're a bit like an oasis, really, where they have these gardens. There's a aqua water system running underneath certain parts of the desert. So, you know, we were able to go source the veggies from that kind of area. And yeah, amazing. Different again. Assalamu alaikum. Mara okra inshallah. If God willing. I love that bit. I love that bit. I may see you again soon, Kerry Lee. And then you'd say, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. If God is willing. Cheer. I like that. Don't you? It's up to the gods, Kerry Lee. I'll see you again. Well, mara okra inshallah, inshallah.
Love that very much, Tim.
I love that stuff.
And did you get to learn a lot of language from the places you visited around the world, Tim? Tell us about that.
Yes. Oh, yes, I was right into it. I've forgotten it all by now. But anyway, I got right into every culture, even going to Santiago, a place called Chiloé, seeing where all the potatoes originated from, even meeting this woman with 112 varieties of potatoes. You know, we had to bring them over on the canoe many, many, many moons ago. And so from places like Rapa Nui, things like that. So you learn the connection, you know, with a little thing like a kumara, a sweet potato, which we have everywhere now. But, yeah, going to Santiago, beautiful there as well. Beautiful people. You know, at the end of the day, Kerry Lee, we're all just beautiful people. Beautiful people who's dying for life. And we're just living our lives. And we all connect in some way or another. We have this energy force, the thing called Modi, M-A-U-R-I, Modi. It's a living life force. It's said, they speak about it on Star Wars, that force. We all got it. And it's a beautiful thing. And what a beautiful show that you're, hopefully your people will enjoy on NITV.
Brings me to my next question, which is the work that you've done over in Hollywood. Tell us about that, Tim.
Yes, well, I've always had a little inkling or a little drive to sort of make my way to Hollywood, which I did eventually after my three-year stint on Shortland Street. But yeah, it's been a while now. I just had that, I guess, that tenaciousness to give it a go. Of course, nobody knew Dr. Ropata when I first got to Hollywood, which was my soap character here back in New Zealand. However, yeah, I just got a lucky break. The big thing for me was, of course, once were warriors. Yeah, to be noticed in Hollywood at that time and the way the climate was, you either had to go through all the process, which was difficult, finding an agent, a manager, casting people, or you get noticed in a movie. And in this case, I think a few of us got noticed with Once Were Warriors. So I was able to, that opened a number of doors. I was able to get an agent. And yeah, I did things like Dr. Moreau. My first Hollywood movie was with Pamela Anderson, Barb Wire. I did Speed 2 with Sandra Bullock, 6 Days, 7 Nights with Harrison Ford. Then it all goes away. It's up and down. It's up and down. Then they forget who Tim Werner Morrison is for a little while. Seem to get amnesia occasionally. And then I get spotted again. Then people like Jason Momoa have been great. And then I do work back in New Zealand and Australia just to keep the kettle boiling or the pot boiling. Yeah, it's been quite an up and down. Nothing's always the same or constant. It's 1 minute they know you, next minute they don't. But yeah, the phone is still ringing. I've been blessed. Jason's been great for me too because we just had that big Chief of War, which has been screening on Apple TV. That's been huge. That was a spectacular show, actually. After, you know, I did a lot of things, but even working on Chief of War, just the way the cast came together, we all took responsibility for certain things. We created something quite fresh, something spectacular, something we hadn't seen before, like that Polynesian thing coming through. So, yeah, so it's been up and down, but I've been blessed. I can go to Hollywood, work over there and do a few little things, and then also come back home. Keep your feet grounded and do things like this earth oven. How much more grounding do you need than that, Kerry Lee? I've got to get this rocks on. When you're coming over, I'll put a hangi down. Let me know. Put Rotorua on the map. We have the hot pools here too where you can bathe and feel like $1 million afterwards. and look a little bit better as well. We have magic waters in our area here of Rotorua. So, yes, please come and explore. Put it on the list.
I will put it on the list, bro. That sounds really deadly indeed. Now, looking back at the whole series you've created, do you have any highlights from the whole series? Or were they all highlights, the whole thing, bro?
Oh, everything was just getting on the plane. Flying business class. Oh, gee, that was nice. We flew economy a couple of times. Yeah, they were good. Just every day was just a beautiful day. Meeting people, horse riding, listening to David play his didgeridoo, hanging out on the camel, spectacular diving. A lot of the things that I really, really enjoyed were the simple things. Going for a canoe paddle were the very simple things that don't require much money, funnily enough. So yeah, beautiful thing. Even going diving here in New Zealand, going to get the rocks here in New Zealand. It's just, yeah, all highlights, really. Just beautiful day. I just enjoyed every day, and it was nice too. You know, I'm not hiding behind any characters, not trying to act, not trying to say dialogue, you know, just be natural, which I kind of enjoyed. It was a nice change, but yes, yeah, still kind of getting used to that.
And you just mentioned there the simple things in life, and I often find the best things in life are free, Tim. Do you find that?
Yep. That's what I was just about to say. Beautiful things.
We might leave it there for today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on NITV Radio. Thanks so much for joining me today. And we'll be seeing you on NITV screens for Earth Oven. Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.